This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Call his wife in 406. Big Monaco here with you on this Thursday morning. Yep, Thursday already. We're almost there. 888-808-1019. We got Fliegelman on the other side. We're taking your calls for the last hour here as we are 1 hour away from the morning show and the end of our five-hour midnight ride here on this Thursday morning. A lot of baseball, obviously. We started with the New York Mets, who, again, Eric and Ron Konkama just brought up the pitching staff. I don't want to hear about pitching anymore with the New York Mets. As yesterday, as they've lost 8 out of 9, they were just swept by Cleveland at home in a homestand where they went 1-5 against the Giants and Guardians. And they were shut down completely and no hit through 8 1/3 innings by the great Gavin Williams. Now, that's not to knock Gavin Williams because he's been a fine pitcher this year, but completely shut down. And you add on the idea that they didn't score a run after the second inning on Tuesday night as well. And the last 14 batters went down consecutively at the end of that game. I mean, you are talking about a 15, 16 inning stretch of inept, no good, nothing baseball offensively for the New York Mets. And that has been the problem with this team the entire season. It has been runners in scoring position, which Juan Soto, and he is right here in the forefront of the issue, getting booed at Citi Field last night after grounding to second base. And yes, he hit the home run that avoided the no-hitter and only led to a Mets 4-1 loss instead of a 4-0 no-hit embarrassing loss. But for his 26th home run of the year, 20 of them have been solo shots. 20 out of 26 solo home runs. And the other six, all two-run shots. He has yet to hit a three-run home run, or obviously a grand slam, as a New York Met. He's hitting under 200 over his last 16 games, and that goes along with Lindor hitting 220, Pete Alonso hitting under 200, or right around 200. Brandon Nimmo, who was 0-for-10 in this series with 7 strikeouts, hitting under 200 over the last 16 games. They have been inept offensively. And I hear far too much about the amount of innings the starting pitchers throw or the amount of walks they have or Frankie Montas sucks or whatever else. And yeah, Manaea gave up 5 runs in the sixth inning of game 1 in this series and they battled back. Still had an opportunity to win that game with Pete Alonso in the ninth. Can't come through with a clutch fly ball. And the New York Mets continue to struggle offensively, and I don't know whether or not they should fire a hitting coach, as you know, for the Yankees, who got a big win. We'll get to them in a second. A lot of talk about firing their manager. Yesterday, even I, the big Boone supporter, talked about the idea that it's just been a terrible display, and it feels like he lost the team, and sometimes you got to do things just to spark a club, and there's been a lot of discussion about firing Eric Chavez, the hitting coach, because right now, this offense that is supposed to carry the team is completely inept. And outside of a couple of hard-hit balls, Lindor hit one off, Gavin's glove early in the game. You know, maybe a nice play from the right fielder coming in on a line drive from Vientos. And, yeah, the double play ball hit by Lindor in the second game of this series, in the second inning of yesterday's game. Like, I can't even think of real strong at-bats or real strong, you know, hard-hit balls. It has just been an easy go of it for the Cleveland Guardians in this series. And the manager in the post game talking about they need to, you know, have more conviction in the process and all that. And they're saying the same stuff that we are killing the Yankees for saying. The same thing about we're good, we're better than this, we'll be fine, I have confidence in this group, we'll be okay. Well, they're 2.5 games back now. Luckily, the Philadelphia Phillies lost as well last night. And both teams really have. I mean, they've lost 8 of 9 and haven't really lost any ground in the standings. Philadelphia has just not been able to get it going as well. But, I mean, don't look now. They are three games, you know, or a game and a half behind the Cubs for the lead wild card. No, they're three and a half. Yeah, they're three and a half back of the Cubs for the wild card, at the top of the wild card. They're back from San Diego game. They're three games up on the Reds from being out of the postseason. And this offense that's supposed to carry this team, the Fab Four, as they were coined by their owner, has been killing the team. And yeah, the bottom of the order ain't much better. And Beatty's been in a big-time slump. And after, you know, a promising end to the first half and a couple of big home runs, a grand slam in San Diego, Vientos is still not the player we saw last year. Mullins has come here and not really done anything with his opportunity. The bottom of the order is still struggling, but it's the top that is absolutely killing them. The bottom is giving them something. You know, Taylor gets, you know, one of the runs the other day on a base hit for the first hit he's had in months. Like, the top of the order is where this team is built, and they have just been atrocious, and really it's been all year. And Juan Soto's getting booed, and Pete Alonso's getting booed at a place that was, let's be honest, Citi Field was the place to be this year. They had the best home field advantage in all of baseball after being kind of, you know, challenged by the owner in the offseason about the attendance. It's 40,000 a night. It's been a great atmosphere. They have had a lot of winning in this building, but right now, the fans have had enough, and understandably so, as they follow a 7-game win streak with 8 out of 9, and this offense is non-existent. And as good as the numbers may be, even in this series, right? I just gave you Nimmo 0-for-10 with 7 strikeouts. You look at Juan Soto, 3-for-10, home run, couple RBIs, couple of runs scored, not a disaster. Right? That's a decent series. Hit 300, home run. But it's just not enough. He is not impacting winning. He is not coming through with the big hits and the big moments. He's hitting under 200 over the last 16 games. It's just he hasn't had that stretch. Although he's great in June, that's when the struggles began. We have not seen Juan Soto put together a stretch that has impacted the Mets winning baseball games. And the idea that off of that contract and how he changed the mindset of the entire fan base when he signed here, when he chose the New York Mets over the New York Yankees, something clicked inside an entire fan base. A switch had flipped, and now we're the team in the city. We're the team that's run the best. We're the team with the richest owner. We can buy the big studs. They want to come here because they believe in our plan. They believe in our future. They believe in our system. They believe in our GM and our rich owner, and this is the place to be. And to have him booed in August already, year one of year 15, is hard to fathom. And they turn around and they'll head to Milwaukee for a weekend series against the best team in baseball. And right now, make no mistake, this Met team is in trouble offensively. And they are in a position I didn't think they'd be in. Only 3 games up to be a wild card team. So they've got to turn it around fast, and they seem to think they have all the answers. I don't know what they're going to do. A lot of noise around the pitching coach. You know, we floated out a couple of different names. Carlos Beltran, Fliegelman suggested J.D. Martinez, who was so important and impactful for them last year as a leader, to kind of bring back into this room as a coach or whatever, even if you don't fire Chavez, just to bring J.D. Martinez back, someone who, you know, a lot of the young kids, including Vientos, talked about how important he was in his development and how important he was in his season last year. Maybe they need a spark. They need something. Because to be shut down by, you know, the Guardians in this way, it's just, and to hear the manager every night talking about, well, you tip your hat, he did a great job. Oh, you know, he really threw the ball well. Like, it's every night. It's every night the other pitcher had the best night of his season. And then we get to the New York Yankees, who by no means have done anything other than calm the noise for a day with a huge win against the Rangers. They do enough offensively they get enough from Rodon, who wasn't overly great in this game. Five innings, two runs is nothing to write home about. Comes in and starts the sixth, walks the leadoff man, and is forced out of the game to bring in Leiter. But five innings, two runs at least keeps them in the game. You'd like better from him. That was a big spot, and he didn't blow the game up. They ended up winning. You take it for what it's worth. But the bullpen comes in, does an incredible job for them, including David Bednar, who has now answered the question, who is the Yankee closer? It is Bednar. There is no question about it. He came in last night for a five-out save, finished the eighth, and then after being squeezed against Seager, gives up a base hit, stays in for 42 pitches, the longest outing he has had since 2022. The manager, Aaron Boone, comes out and talks to him. He's allowed to stay in the game, and he gets that final strikeout of Garcia. The Yankees at least salvage one of the three in Texas. They have now won the season series against the Rangers, so at least they hold the wild card tiebreaker over the Rangers. And overall, it's a good, solid win. You feel better about the bullpen. Goldschmidt with a big pinch-hit home run, and Boone made some good moves. A pinch-hitting of Goldschmidt leads to the game-winning home run. Obviously, sticking with Bednar and dealing the bullpen in the manner he did with Leiter and Hill, and then going to Bednar. So, listen, they've still lost five out of their last six. They are not playing overly well. The offense had multiple opportunities to try and break the game open, but they played relatively a clean game. They ran the base as well. Dominguez steals third. The ball goes into the outfield, leads to a cheap run. They played defense pretty well. They turned three different double plays. One was really nice between Jazz and Volpe, so they showed you what they can be. They can be a team who's actually, believe it or not, does have good defenders. And if Volpe, who hasn't made an error now in a while, and what's a while for him, three games? But all of his throws have been consistently good. He made a huge double play in the second game of this series. He's played much better defensively. He comes through with an RBI base hit in this game. You're starting to feel a little bit better about him, starting to feel a little bit better about this bullpen now that you know Devin Williams is out of any kind of big-time situation. And they got to turn it around, take a deep breath, at least feel like they're coming home with some positivity as opposed to being swept. And now they take on the Houston Astros, their nemesis, who's added Carlos Correa back to the team and are throwing their two top pitchers in Brown and Valdez in the first two games of this series. So big weekends for both these clubs as the Mets will travel to Milwaukee and the Yankees head back home for a big series against the Houston Astros off a win in Texas. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though, as I got you for another 40 minutes. All the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rico in Los Angeles. What's up, Rico?
Hey, first of all, shout-out to my buddy Johnny Rose Beef. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Johnny Beef. What's up?
Johnny Beef. Yeah, so...
All beef. About, you know, being,
from Goodfellas, remember him? You know, and
Johnny Rose Beef, I remember. Johnny Rose Beef, Frankie two times. I'm going to go get the papers.
Get the papers. Yeah. That's my good buddy. And actually shout out condolences to my buddy's family, Michael Madsen. So that was a sad loss a couple weeks ago. Did a few movies with him. He's a great guy. Very good. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for the boys. But
sorry to hear that.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. To tell you about baseball. You know, baseball is great because you know this. We second guess, but we never forget things. Like why did Yogi go with Seaver with 3 days rest? Why did Terry Collins not take Harvey out?
Yep.
Even after he walked the first guy, he could have took him out then.
Yep.
And thing about the Mets, what happened this year? The pitching actually buoyed the team in the beginning. We had great efforts from these guys. While the offense was kind of like streaky, Alonso got off to a great start, Lindor got off to a great start, and the pitching was holding us up. And then as the pitching got hurt, suddenly the offense got exposed and the bullpen got exposed and we started losing. That happened all around the middle of June when we lost that game to Tampa. We were up 5-1 and we blew that. And there were games like that where we just didn't have enough to get over the top. We've been in that funk now for the last 2 months. And I'm not sure if you think you hit on the head though, Chris, because last year we had guys like Martinez, guys like Iglesias. They were like kind of stirring the pot, keeping Vientos motivated, keeping them in the game. There was more of that energy going on. And these kids in the lineup, especially that bottom of the lineup, there's no one really there stirring them up. And I really felt afraid for this team, starting with that series, you know, with the Tampa series when they lost. It's like they swept by Atlanta, you know, swept by the Pirates, and now swept by San Diego. and now swept by Cleveland of all teams. And it looks uglier because we're going to play Milwaukee. We're going to have to play Philadelphia. We're going to play Atlanta. And I don't know what do you tell us. What do you think is the thing to do to motivate these guys? Because you know,
if I knew that, I'd be a manager. And thank you for the call, Rico. I don't know. Do I think that firing Chavez is going to change anything? I don't know. They fired a hitting coach. Remind me again, please. You might remember. Who'd they fire that Pete was very upset about? Wasn't that right before? That was around that whole Donnie Stevenson thing anyway. Didn't they fire a hitting coach and Pete Alonso was like very upset about it? Trying to think. What the hell was his name?
They did. I forget the name of the guy who actually... Chili Davis.
Chili Davis, right. They fired Chili Davis and Pete was very upset about it. So, like, maybe firing Chavez will get someone motivated. I don't know. It didn't work for the Yankees 2 years ago in 23 when they fired their hitting coach and minor league hitting instructor as well. And brought in Sean Casey. That didn't really do much. Now, this is a far better team, this Met team, than that Yankee lineup in 23 was awful. But I don't know what it does. And does Juan Soto, who's a main problem for this team right now, hitting 126 over his last, or 130 over his last 16 games, does he care that Chavez gets fired? Is that something that's going to motivate him or shake him up or shake up Lindor or Nimmo? I don't know. But what else can you do? Like, this is the same argument that people would have about firing Aaron Boone or firing managers. Like, even if it's not their fault, you're just looking for a spark with a group that's underachieving. So, would I fire? I would do something. I would try and do something. You could bring in another name into the room, like, you know, J.D. Martinez. Just see if he's willing to come in and be a part of the team for the last 2 months of the season. Do something. I mean, it's not a team that's, you know, and not a manager who's afraid to shake up the lineup. God knows that. He's tinkered with the lineup, and I feel like he's done a good job of it. It feels like a lot of those moves have ended up working. Obviously, Lindor to lead off last year is chief among them, as he really kind of took off last year once getting moved to lead off. But we've seen, you know, guys be put in the two-hole, which is a very good spot in between Lindor and Soto, or at least that's what it has been for a lot of the time. But they moved Nimmo to second. He kind of took off. And then when that cooled off, he moved Nimmo to lead off, and that helped a little bit. So, but there's only so many lineup maneuvers you can do. There's only so many. Like me and Fleegs talked about it yesterday, moving Soto to first. And I know Evans talked about that a lot too. Moving Soto to lead off. You know, he's really struggled with driving in runs and hitting runners in scoring position, but his best attribute is getting on base. He'll always be great at that. So hit him lead off. Don't worry about driving in runs. Get on base for us to lead off the game. You know, get that first run of the game on base a lot more. It seems like a plan, right? Soto, Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo. But only so many times you can shift around the lineup before that gets tiresome too. It's not the answer. They've been middle of the pack offensively for the entire season. They've been down towards the bottom with runners in scoring position for most of the season. This is not new. This doesn't just correlate with the last 8 out of 9 losses. This has been a problem for this team the entire season, through the winning ways of April and May, through the losing ways of June and July, through the 7-game hitting winning streak, to the 8 of 9 losses here. Like, that's been a common underlying theme. Not good enough for runners in scoring position, not scoring enough runs. That has been the problem for this Met team the entire season. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, you nailed that Stewart impression. That was very impressive. I'll give you that one.
Oh, well, thank you.
Give you that. I'm going to give you my position on Boone and Cashman quick. I'd be interested in yours, but even because I'm talking to somebody in the 11 online social media groups, even if they went 17-30 or whatever and lost the team and those moves that they made at the deadline didn't work, people saying, oh, Boone's got to go in season. I would never do that. I think, like you always say, he's done enough, and that's not the Yankees' way. You let him finish out the season, which is my opinion, no matter what, then you move on. But here's where me and you have a disconnect. I feel like you've given Katzman the pass for his history, okay? But how does that relationship work? Because in football, it's 100%. the coach goes, the GM goes, because the GM fed the players to the coach. So Cashman made these moves that you liked. I get it. I think a lot of people like some of these moves.
Yeah.
Right? Or even Devin Williams. You loved it. But like,
Chris, I did. I love the Devin Williams trade. I would still
right,
do that.
But when they don't, work, though, I feel like, are you giving Cashman a pass? Because if I was Boone, I'd be like, you gave me all of these players, and they're not, you know.
Yeah, but
Devin Williams has more.
That's it, Devin Williams. Give me another player that he gave him that hasn't been performing.
I just said if these trade deadline moves don't work, and I just said that, and they implode.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm trying to find your position. How does it work?
Why are you so worried about my position? Just have your own position. Like, we keep doing this. Like, I'm not. I get it. I'm the host. You want to bounce things off me. That's kind of what we do here. But like, why are you trying to find my? But just tell me what you think, and I'll react to it. You think it's on Cashman? You want Cashman fired? Let's talk about it. But like, what's my position on it? My position on it is not only did the trade deadline moves work, but a lot of the moves off in the offseason work. Cody Bellinger worked. Paul Goldschmidt has cooled off, no doubt, but he just hit a big home run, and he's the start of the year was hitting 360. He's worked. Jazz Chisholm has worked. He's got OPS over 800. Trent Grisham has worked. Ben Rice through the farm system has worked. Like, a lot of the up until the last three or four starts, or maybe five starts, he went out and signed Max Fried. He was an ace for this team. He's 10-1 off Yankee losses. He's worked. Like, whatever you think about Brian Cashman, the job he's done throughout the years, you don't want to give him credit for the 98, 99, 2000 championships, however crazy you want to take it, and, you know, the problem inside the fundamentals discussed and taught through the farm system and all the issues the Yankees have. Fine. Look at this team right now and tell me they shouldn't be better. And I've been on the Brian Cashman is more to blame than Aaron Boone trade for a long time. This is more about the roster. This is more about Aaron Boone. I look at 2023, that's more about Brian Cashman being unable to put together a roster with $300 million than it is Aaron Boone being able to make, you know, Willie Calhoun a cleanup hitter. Like, that's a lot of this has been on him. The development of the players on him, all on him. But I look at this team specifically, and I count how many different guys have 780 to 820 OPSs, and I look at, you know, the top two starters, although they lost starters to injury, no doubt. The top two starters, both all-stars. Like, the amount of bullpen guys he's been given now. Like, I look at this team. This team is good. I think Brian Cashman's done a really good job with this team. Now, yeah, the trade for Devin Williams, which by far has been the biggest issue. Like, he has single-handedly blown five or six games that you can't blow. Forget the, you know, every closer is going to blow a game that they're up by one or two every once in a while. Closers blow saves. So to count every game he's blown and say that should be a win, that's kind of unfair because all closers throughout baseball will blow saves from time to time. But, I mean, he's gone in. He's blown multiple games of three-run leads, multiple games of four-run leads. Like, he has been an absolute disaster. And, yeah, I mean, you want to get on him? Sometimes it just doesn't work and you can't predict it. This dude's been one of the best relievers in baseball for the last 5 years. Not just like an okay arm and had a, you know, nice little career and, you know, one of the elite relievers, one of the top two, three relievers in the sport for 5 years or 4 years. And they traded a prospect who's performing fairly well for Milwaukee and one we had never heard of until that offseason, and Nestor Cortez for one of the best relievers in the game. I'll make that trade any day of the week. Now, I wouldn't do it again for him because I've seen what happened, but like the next great reliever, I'll make that trade any day. Like, I have a tough time getting on Cashman for it because there's no reason why it shouldn't have continued. The moment's too big for him. New York didn't work for him. He's one of those guys. How can you predict that? How can you know who's a New York guy and who's not a New York guy? It's not easy. It's something that both Stearns and Cashman have to try and navigate that other GMs don't have to. But, like, so at what point is it on Brian? At every point, it's on Brian Cashman. Everything is on the manager. Everything is on the general manager. Of course, it's all on them. And, yeah, I agree with you. If they don't make the playoffs, I would fire Boone, clearly. And, listen, it's one of those things that's a different. It's not like football where the GM and the coach are tandem. He's running the team for a long time. He's part of the fabric. The owner trusts him implicitly. He's been a GM overseeing an operation that's transformed the Yankees from, you know, where they were, where people thought you couldn't build a stadium in the Bronx, to 30-plus years of success. He's been the architect and the overseer of that for a lot of it, for most of it, for almost all of it. And they trust him implicitly. And I don't think he would ever get fired. Like, I don't think the term Brian Cashman has been fired by the New York Yankees will ever happen, ever. There will be Brian Cashman is transitioning to a new role inside the Yankee organization. That's what it's going to be. That is going to be the announcement, and Brian Cashman is out.
If Dave Gettleman got that kind of respect, Brian Cashman has to.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what's going to happen. He's not. It's not like Brian Cashman is fired. That's never going to happen. We're relieving Brian Cashman of all of his duties as general manager of the baseball team. Not going to happen. It's going to be Brian Cashman is moving to, you know, executive director of Yankee finance and baseball or whatever. Even if it's just a figurehead position, I would think that's what's going to happen. Unless he wants another challenge and wants to go to another organization, which I think they would let him do. But it's probably going to be a hire from inside Brian Cashman's circle. I think Brian Cashman's going to be able to handpick his successor. Like, I think all of that. I definitely think all of that. And then where it goes from there would be a different story. But forget all of that, too. Like, forget all of that, too. Here's the question. You watch the team. You've watched them play, and the way they've played has been disastrous. But I look at the lineup. I would challenge any Yankee fan to tell me they look at this lineup and all the players in it and how much success they have had individually and tell me you don't believe this team can be far better than it's been. The rotation scares me a little bit. Will Warren's been good for a rookie, no doubt. Cam Schlittler's got some stuff. And Luis Hill's just getting his feet wet and was good last year and won Rookie of the Year. So we'll see. Max Fried has not been what he's been for the first 3 months of the year over the last five starts. And Carlos Rodon, for the most part, pitches pretty damn well. But in the biggest moments, not a lot of faith. So the rotation is definitely in flux. But the lineup and now the back end of the bullpen, I don't know how you could look at this team and tell me they're not as good as anybody else. Really. And now they got to go out and perform like that. And this is the first time, and that's why I had the open conversation about Aaron Boone yesterday, because this is the first time I've seen a Yankee team where I think it's not about the roster. Not entirely. Now, is the roster like a, you know, game-changing, should be the best team in baseball, bar none kind of roster? No, but it's good enough to be far better than this. This is the first time I've looked at the team and I went, something's not right because they should be better than this. Even through last year's struggles, you know, J.D. Davis was hitting cleanup against the Mets. J.D. Davis. Like, there were issues with that team. There's two good hitters. When Severino said that, he wasn't wrong. This is different. This is different. They should not be, this long, continual losing that we have seen over the last 2 months should not be happening with this team. They are far better than that. Aaron Boone said it to John Boy. And he kind of chuckled through it. He goes, the funny thing is, I honestly think this team has a chance to be the best team I've managed. I agree with him. Has a chance to be. And that's why I'm on Aaron Boone. That's why I've been on him. And that's why I haven't been on him in previous years, because I felt like he's gotten pretty much what I thought the team should be. Last year, 90-plus wins, division winner. That's what I thought they should be in the World Series. That's what I thought they should be. 2022, as they were falling apart, 99 wins, division winner, not as good as the Astros. That seemed about right. Now, yeah, I'd love to have him jump up and beat a team that's better than him in a postseason series, sure, and win a championship, of course. But I look at what they have been over the last years, and I look at the roster, and I look at where they finish, and I look at the job Boone has done, and I say, yeah, sounds about right. That's about what I thought they were. They didn't overachieve, but that's about, they didn't underachieve either. They pretty much became what I thought they would be, and then didn't play well enough in the postseason, so they didn't win the whole thing. This year feels different to me. This year feels like, look at this lineup and how many different guys have over 750 OPSs and have good numbers, and the back end of the bullpen now, and Fried and Rodon. Like, this team should be better than this, without question. It's the first time I felt that way. And now hopefully that win sparks them to do something better. And hopefully now that the bullpen is more settled, they will. But they're facing two tough customers right out of the gate Friday and Saturday with Brown and Valdez and the nemesis Houston Astros.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right. Only 20 minutes left. It's flying by when you actually have a win to talk about every once in a while. Nice. Nice. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, taking your calls for another 20 minutes till the warm-up show comes your way. Let's get to them. See, Eddie and Rockland's on the phone. We're going to get to him in a second. He's going to try and lock me into position as well. See if he can lock me in. Can't hold me down, brother. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up?
What's up?
Nothing much. I went to the game yesterday. I mean, the worst decision of my life. I never had a worse experience at a baseball game. I left in the seventh inning.
Oh.
I said, I can't take more of this. It was just horrible. It was like slow torture. I don't know what's up with these Mets. You know, I don't know. Is it the Iglesias factor, the team chemistry?
There could be something to that. Not necessarily Iglesias or OMG or, anything like that. But maybe there is something to the idea that just they're missing a little component of maybe a little bit of leadership or a little bit of fun or someone in there to lighten the room up. I don't know. Maybe there is something, you know, chemistry is a big thing. And last year they had all these gimmicks. They had Grimace. They had, you know, obviously, like you said, OMG. They had the playoff pumpkin. I don't know what else they had. The play Mets pimp. What was it again? There was a bunch of different stuff for the team. This year it hasn't really had that same kind of vibe. But I don't know. I just think that the offense has really struggled. I think that's you haven't really gotten consistent hitting out of Lindor, who feels like, you know, he hurt that toe earlier in the season. And it feels like he hasn't been the same physically.
Why haven't they taken him out and rested him? You know, because it seems like he's struggling. I mean, if he had a broken toe, give him 2 weeks off. Let it heal. I mean, what's the point of playing every day if he's not producing? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't disagree. I'm with you. I would have considered setting him down. I don't know if it's still hurting him and he's just in bad habits or it is still bothering him. I don't know. But he hasn't been the same player he was last year, that's for sure. And Juan Soto's just not been the same player he's been in his career as far as big hits go. I mean, some of the overall numbers won't jump out at you as, you know, really bad. But over the last 16 games, like right now, let me just pull up his exact number. There's Baseball Reference. How are you? All right, so right now, Juan Soto, if you look at the numbers, it's probably not going to jump out at you as terribly. He leads the league in walks at 87. That's why we were considering, me and Fleeks were talking about leading him off if you're going to switch the lineup around a little bit, because he still leads the league in walks and his on-base percentage is .383, which is still very good. It's down. Last year was .419. The year before that was .410. Believe it or not, I mean, this is where Juan Soto is special. Like, the .383 on base percentage, which is still pretty damn good. I mean, I'm not sure where that ranks in baseball this year, but he's probably towards the top of the list. His .383 on base percentage would be the worst of his career. Even in the miserable second half after the trade to San Diego, where he was really bad for San Diego that second half after being traded there, even that is 5 points higher than it is right now for the Mets. Even during that stretch, just in San Diego in 22, he had a .388 on base percentage. So this is by far, he's never been under .400 besides just the stretch. The entire season of 2022, he had a .401 on base. So, I mean, he has never had an under .400 on base percentage in his career. It's .383 right now, which is still very good. His OPS is .860. That is better than that stretch in San Diego, but other than that, it was so bad in San Diego that it brought it back for the year 20. So this would be the second worst OPS at .860 of his career. .249 would be the second worst batting average. besides 22. So, like, but still, 250, 860 OPS, leads the league in walks, 26 home runs, and 64 RBIs. I mean, it's not Juan Soto, but it's not terrible. But it's just, it hasn't. And then yesterday, again, I think it was a little overblown, but yeah, he didn't really run very hard chasing down that triple and try to limit it to a double. And to me, it was more about the, I thought the throw in was kind of a lackluster throw. He didn't put a lot on it and kind of just, you know, got it in. But we know what kind of player he is, and he's been decent in the outfield, and he's got the most stolen bases of his career for sure. Let me just double check that. I know he's got 17 stolen bases this year, which is 5 more than any other year in his career. And there's still 40-plus games left. So he's running the bases better. I thought defensively he's okay. You know, he's not great, but he's okay. Maybe he didn't chase down a ball. And there was a couple of moments where he didn't run the ball, run it out hard to first base, along with every other player in baseball. But the dude's making $765 million. And right now, he's having arguably the worst season of his career. And more to that, because the worst season of Juan Soto's career is still a pretty good season, more to the point, he's not impacting the team. He's not driving in the runs. He's not coming through with the big hits. He's hitting under 200 with runners in scoring position. That's not what this dude does. I mean, that's just not what he does. He has been a guy with runners in scoring position his whole career. So, like, he's a major problem right now. He's getting booed at Citi Field. But I don't know what the issue is. I would point to that, and I would point to Pete Alonso not really doing much, although he's been better the last couple games, 3-run home run against Cleveland in the first game of the series, had a couple hits, but really, since his hot April and May, has not done all that much and has been pretty, and offensively he's been terrible. He still hasn't caught. I thought for sure he'd blow by Strawberry by now. Hasn't been there. Lindor hasn't been the same. It's those three guys. Those three guys are supposed to be what carries the team, and they have not. At really any other point outside of maybe the first month and a half of the season when Pete Alonso was doing it. That's it. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Mr. Saturday mid-morning.
What's
up?
How are you, buddy? What's going on?
All right. What's the matter? Friday night, you're missing out on your popcorn time and stuff like that?
I'm missing out on time with my wife, but it's all right. It's still worth it. I love doing the show. But yeah, I've just noticed that the Friday night used to be, you know, I feel bad because now I definitely have to watch stuff still. And, you know, now my wife is, we used to have movie time and stuff on Friday, but it's well worth it, man.
Well, listen, Chris, listen.
Yes.
What I don't understand is you work lot, like probably 15 hours a week and you don't have movie time and you don't have kid time and you don't have this time.
I have plenty of kid time.
4 3-hour shows and 1 5-hour show. You're at like 17 hours.
Something like that. Yeah, but there's a lot of there's a lot of prep and watching the stuff I have to watch. There's also the idea that I sleep during the day. But again, here we go. My schedule, my life. It's never about sports. It's about trying to lock me into a position that one day you can try and hit me over the head with and, you know, getting into the things I say about my life. Look, I love the Saturday show. I was just commenting that I used to be able to, you know, watch Friday. I felt it was more of a comment about how I felt bad for my wife that it's like every night is, oh, we're watching. I have 3 TVs in my living room. All 3 TVs have baseball games on them. That's, you know, and then that has continued into Friday night now, where I would give it a little bit of a rest if I didn't have the show on Saturday. And now Friday night looks just like Wednesday night. That's all. But I see my kids more than ever. They're either at school or asleep or with me. That's it. Those are the only 3 things. My kids are either at school, asleep, or hanging out with me, which is great. My favorite part of the schedule.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
McMonagle here with you on the Fan. A little Foo Fighters. Bum, 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 mm, mm, mm. Too alone. Which one was that? Why am I? I know the song. My, that is My Hero. That's what I thought. I should have known that too. That was the song my coach put over the highlight film. Which I gotta. What's the? I gotta find a company that still does it. I don't know. I've been meaning to do it forever. I gotta find a way to transfer the VHS to DVR. Do you even still do that, or do you just transfer it right to like a USB or something? Like, do we even still transfer things to DVR? Is that worth it? Or do you go straight to like just a computer file or something? Because I got a bunch of VHSs that I need to transfer.
I would imagine now you can just convert it to digital.
Yeah, right. Just convert it to digital. Nobody even makes DVDs anymore. I'm still looking to fix my get my VHS stuff on, and DVDs don't even exist anymore. Bummer. I miss DVD. I still miss Blockbuster. That was
just
best.
Google it.
I should Google if you. I have to. There is a company you send it away though. I was looking for like a cheap thing. Like, can you just buy like a converter? At this point, like from, you know, is Radio Shack still around? Got like a $20 just piece of equipment where I put a blank DVD in one and a VHS in the other and just.
And you could probably buy something like that on eBay because yeah. That's outdated.
Yeah.
Whoever had that machine is trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, probably. But no, there's like a company that you send. I've seen it. You mail it away. Like you put all your videos in a box and mail it away to them and they send it back. Whatever. Got to do that. I got a couple things of my dad on recordings, and I got a couple of high school football highlights that I would like to have on either DVD or something. I need that. I need to remind myself who I once was as I get yelled at by callers about how much I actually work or don't work. Trying to lock me down into a position. Here's my position. Here's my position. Both these teams should be better. That's my position. Football's around the corner. We're going to have preseason games coming up. Looking forward to that. I'd like to see some offense from the football teams, too. It's discouraging that the reports of camp. Again, it's just camp. I know I did this a little bit. I know it's just camp. And I'm not hung up on practice. And I'm not going to do the practice joke. I'm not hung up on it too much. But just, I'd really like to see some offense. It's like some successful offensive football. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to, like, turn on the game? And even if they lose, even if they struggle, like, see an actual passing attack. See, like, for the New York Giants to actually throw the ball into the end zone once in a while. Have enough time to actually allow wide receivers to get deep down the field. And for the Jets, same thing. Like, I know there was a handful of games where Aaron Rodgers still put up good numbers and threw more touchdown passes than, you know, any other quarterback the Jets have had in the last, I don't know, 100 years. But it's just, I don't know. They get Fields. Sounds like he can't complete a pass in practice. It's going to be a tough start to the season, man. I don't know. I'm pessimistic about everything now with our baseball teams and how they ruined us. This team should be far better. Far better. And we'll have five. I'm actually filling in for Keith tonight. So I'll be right back. How about that, Eddie? Put that in your book. Coming right back. I'll be on 7 p.m. tonight. Doing a five-hour ride to midnight from 7 to midnight tonight, filling in for Keith. I look forward to talking to you then. We'll try and figure out how these teams can move forward going on. We don't have any games to react to. I guess I could just react to last night. I could do it all over again. Repeat. I'll find ways to be creative. Don't worry about it. Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. We'll catch you again in just a few hours. What is it? We got 14 hours or so. I'll be back with you right here on The Fan. Thank you to Fliegelman. We'll catch you later. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday up until 7, and I'll make you enjoy more of it as we get ready for a big summer weekend. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.